One.
Welcome back to Goal Line Stuff, the show where we talk about anything and everything football related. I'm Alex Kurchia.
And I'm Michael San Antonio, and boy, do we have a show for you today. And I know this is goal line stuff, but I'm a little goal line stuffed up today. My nose is stuffy. That was really bad. Don't even just disregard that. But if I sound a little stuffy, just know that's the reason why I'm a little sick. But on top of me being sick, this podcast is sick and in a metaphorical and cool way. And with it being sick, we're going to do some cool stuff today. We're going to go over the Eagles and 49ers losses. I know, sad being an Eagles fan. I hate saying it out loud, but we're going to go over the two undefeated teams that lost. We're going to talk about Jerry Jeudy and his situation with the Broncos. We're going to talk about quarterback injuries, Anthony Richardson out for the year, as well as Daniel Jones and Deshaun Watson going through some pretty serious stuff. And then last but not least, tomorrow, the Saints Jaguars Thursday night game. We're going to do some predictions about that game, what we think is going to happen. You ready, Alex?
Always.
Always ready. Okay, let's start out with the hardest thing to talk about, and that's the Eagles loss and also the 49ers loss. But I think Eagles first, because that's the one that hits home the most for us being from the Philadelphia area. Are you worried about the Eagles after seeing, I know we had three injuries. Darius Slay was hurt, Lane Johnson hurt, and the biggest one of all is
Lane.
We were missing our star rookie defensive tackle, Jalen Carter, who's been on a tear so far this year. But
I don't know how you can say that the biggest loss isn't Lane Johnson.
he is the biggest loss, but still,
The Eagles
losing
have been
Jalen Carter sucks.
consistently bad on offense without Lane Johnson for the last like 10 years.
That's true. But we
Which
have
is
good
crazy. A right tackle can
line,
make
we
so
have
much
good
impact.
depth. We have good depth.
Still, doesn't matter how good of depth we have, Lane is irreplaceable. He hasn't let up a sack in what, like 3 years or something stupid like that.
Yeah, but like I think we're one team. We're a team that can survive losing a player like Lane. It
Well, yeah,
won't. It
of course we
sucks,
can
but
survive. And he's not gonna be gone for long. He'll probably miss one or
we
two,
did. We didn't
three.
survive in that Jets game, and it wasn't because of Lane. It was because of other
It
factors.
was everything. The offensive play calling is horrible. Jalen played horrible in the end of the game. We had receivers dropping balls. We had Jake Elliott missing gimme kicks. Everything that could have gone wrong in that game did. And we still only lost by a touchdown, which really, realistically, we only gave up that touchdown because we let them, because we wanted the ball back. In all reality, that defense, our defense, did not give up a single touchdown through that entire game.
Yeah, our defense has been the strong point for us this year.
Which
And
is crazy.
I'd argue that's the same thing with the 49ers.
Yeah, but no, you know what? The
I'd
Niners'
argue.
offense has been probably better than their defense, I'd say, aside from that one game.
I think that this game proved otherwise.
I said,
I don't
aside
think
from this
they've
one
played
game,
super tough competition so far.
they haven't, which is why they're going to win the NFC because the Eagles have a much harder schedule, and the Niners have a cakewalk, which will propel them right to the NFC title game after getting the one seed, which stinks as an Eagles fan, but I mean, that's how it goes. It just goes to show that if the Eagles do end up with the one seed somehow, then they're really battle tested and they really earned it.
I don't think it really matters who gets the one seed. I think it more matters who's playing who. That's not the one seed. And then like, cause like, I feel like the NFC, it's like, there's only three teams I'm really concerned about at this point. Like, I mean, Eagles and Niners are two of the teams. And then the last team, like I would say is Detroit. I mean, Dallas, I guess four. Dallas is in there too. But
No
like,
way.
I don't think even Detroit, both Detroit and Dallas to me aren't like, I'm not worried. I really think it comes down to Eagles or Niners. And it's
It
about who
does,
gets
but
the easier path in the playoffs.
I don't think you can say that having the one seed doesn't matter because do you think last year it impacted the Niners for being a West Coast team that plays in the warm weather to have to travel all the way to the East Coast, play in the cold
I
in a
don't think
hostile
they
environment?
lost, if that's what you're asking.
Well, obviously they lost, but you don't think that had anything to do with them losing?
I think they would have lost either way, even if the positions were flipped and it was favorable towards them. I thought we were the better team last year, And yeah, the Brock Purdy injury, you know, you can't say for sure because he got injured and then the game was kind of already over by then. And that was the beginning of the second quarter. But I think even if he doesn't get injured in that case, our defense played so well and we were a better team last season. So I don't think it matters. But this year, I think it's a little bit different because I don't think we're the better team. I think it's pretty evenly matched. Even though we have a lot of experience, like I don't know if we're the better team in a general sense. I think we match up well against them, but that doesn't mean that we're the better team in the NFC, you know?
I don't know that I would even say it's evenly matched. Not this year. I think the one team is pretty clearly playing better than the other team.
That's not what I agree with that, but like when it comes down to it, like the Eagles win without playing well. And that's all you really need to do.
And that is true, but they also lost when not playing well, just like the Niners did this week. In fact, the Niners were in position to win the game.
Both teams
They missed two field goals.
Yeah.
And, you know, the rookie kicker missed both of them, and here they are with their first loss. It was just little mistakes like that.
One thing I want to pinpoint in both the games, the Niners game, yeah, they should have won. If Jake Moody made those kicks, they would have won. And then in the Eagles game, they were in a position to win too. And Jalen Hurts had to throw a really, really bad pick for the Eagles not to win that game. The defenses both played great on both sides. And it really was that the Niners lost to themselves and the Eagles lost to themselves. That's really what it came down to for both those games, in my opinion. I'm surprised both teams lost as early as they did. I thought they'd at least make it another week or two before they eat their first loss. But I mean, they lost to themselves.
But yeah, no, it was a brutal game, especially the play calling on that last drive. Third and long, you call a 2-yard drag. Fourth and eight, you throw the ball 50 yards downfield. Jalen in the fourth quarter was just brutal. And he's looked questionable all year.
So with me, a lot of this has been going to a school in North Carolina. There's not a lot of Eagles fans. And so I've been getting a lot of Jalen Hurts stinks. Jalen Hurts isn't as good as we all thought he was. And I just want to say, I want to talk about my take on it first before you do yours, Alex. But to me, if you watch the games, most of the game he's playing pretty well. He looks very similar to last year. It's more so, I think, losing Steichen.
New
system. A lot of things are different, and I think there's been a lot of miscues. There's a lot of routes that we have in our offensive system where like AJ or Goddard, you know, could either dig in or out on certain plays, there's a lot of miscues where it's like, oh, he's supposed to dig this way, and then one of them doesn't, and then Hurts is just throwing it. He trusts his guy, and it's not working out. And so about half of his turnovers have been because of that. The other half has been him forcing the ball into places that he shouldn't be. And so, yeah, he's not playing as well as he did last year, but he still is showing the elite traits of a quarterback. I don't think he's playing at an elite level, but he's still an elite quarterback, or at least has the same traits that he made him an elite quarterback last year. So I'm not freaking out about Jalen. I'm more so freaking out about how the offense and the team hasn't really figured out their issues yet. And more so wondering, when is it going to happen? Because it's going to have to happen. You know, we're getting into a rough stretch. We play Miami next week. We're going to play a plethora of good teams in this next coming week. So, you know, it's about figuring out what's going wrong and fixing some of it. And if they can't do that, then in the playoffs, it's going to be tough. But I trust that they can, and I trust Jalen and the offense. And the defense has looked great, so I'm not even worried about the defense.
I think it might take till the bye for the offense to get itself figured out, which is three more weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Let me talk about the Niners real quick, because we were supposed to talk about this last week, but then we couldn't make schedules work.
Yeah.
And this take certainly looks a little worse right now after this week, but I think Brock Purdy's the truth. I saw this take on Twitter, but I agreed with it. I think that if Brock Purdy had the top three draft capital that Trey Lance did, people would not be calling him a system quarterback.
Yeah.
I think the only reason that they're calling him a system quarterback is because Kyle Shanahan has this reputation of creating a perfect environment for his quarterbacks, which he does make their situations favorable. But if his system was so perfect, then why couldn't Trey Lance make it work? Why couldn't Jimmy make it work with an elite offense? Like, why couldn't Jimmy have this offense being as elite as it is? Where was it? Why wasn't Josh Johnson in the NFC title game having an elite offense last year?
I think a lot of people's rebuttal would be like, okay, well, those quarterbacks aren't that good. And Brock Purdy's good. But I think one thing is that, like, you have to look at it both ways. I do think Brock Purdy doesn't get enough credit from a lot of people because he came in as a guy with not a weak arm, without anything really special to him. And he's kind of taken over the role as the Niners starter. And he looks very good, but there's nothing that he does that's special. For a seventh round pick, he surely looks special. But
I disagree.
You don't think so?
I think the way he plays quarterback is special. I agree with you that there's no individual trait of his, I guess, like physically at least, that's special. He's not the best athlete. He's not the best arm. He's not the most accurate thrower, although his accuracy is very good, and he throws with anticipation so well and throws his guys open. Oh, but he's throwing to open receivers the whole time. Like, he's throwing the guys open.
Yeah.
He's making some incredible on-target throws, and the way that he's poised in the pocket and can read the field is at a special level.
Okay.
I don't care who your weapons are.
I get the take you're making, but then, like, I could argue the same thing about, like, Gardner Minshew. And it's like, because Minshew also has that aspect to him where he can kind of
I disagree.
It's not even, I don't think you can disagree. Minshew's not
absolutely can. I've seen plenty of Minshew. Minshew, after can make 2 seconds out of nothing. Some guy, what?
Minshew can make stuff out of nothing. He could roll, maneuver around in the pocket, and then find somebody Minshew open, as long as they're not too far downfield. As long as they're
He's
not
the exact
far.
Opposite quarterback of Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy stays poised in the pocket and is calm and collected. Minshew, after two guys come at him in the pocket, even breaks down just a little bit, gets panicked and starts to have sweet feet, and things just go downhill.
They're different quarterbacks, but at the same time, Minshew, the same way as Purdy. I think Minshew and Purdy are both very good at using their limit. Like, even though they have limitations, they're able to kind of make magic out of things that shouldn't be magical. It's like Purdy to me, like, yeah, he has his limitations, but like when you watch him play, there's certain plays where he'll throw it like in the perfect spot for Brandon Ayuk to catch it. Or like you said, with throwing Kittle and other guys open, like, yeah, he's in a system that benefits him a lot. Like, he doesn't have to do too many hard things. But on top of that, he's elevating his guys past what they should be. Like, Kittle is not open some plays, and then Purdy's getting it to him when he shouldn't be. And I think Minshew, in a way, it's a different type of way. But, like, I think you could argue that guys like Minshew or a couple other guys, Wentz, like, even though they're not good quarterbacks, they also have, you know, same type of characteristics, and that they're able to kind of elevate their offense in certain scenarios. So I don't think you can just say that element of Purdy is what makes him special and what makes him a good quarterback. It's more so that
my man, did you just say Carson Wentz and Gardner Minshew elevate their offenses?
They have, yes, in the past.
That's an outrageous take. I'm sorry.
It's not.
Wentz in
2017
almost
won MVP in 2017 off of only doing that. Gardner Minshew.
Check your calendar, yo.
Hey, I'm not talking about present day Wentz. I'm talking about Wentz in the past, not present day Wentz.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
6 years ago.
Yeah. So what? We're Eagles fans. Why can't I make a Wentz reference?
Yes, back then he did elevate his offense. He does not do that now.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about 2017 Wentz.
And Minshew has never once elevated an offense.
Yeah, he did. His rookie year, he brought the Jags were the worst team in the league. And if you watch the games, yeah, he's not a good quarterback, but he was doing some special stuff. It's like, oh, okay. Even this year on the Colts, he's had a couple moments where it's been like, okay, like despite his limitations, he's able to move the ball, put them. He beat the Ravens doing that. The Ravens have their own issues, but still.
The Ravens lost to themselves and the refs that game.
Minshew didn't have a bad game. I watched it. Did not have a bad game.
Gardner Minshew had four turnovers this past week.
I'm not saying he's a good quarterback. I'm just saying. But what the point I was trying to make before we got into all this hoopla is that I think a lot of people would argue that Brock Purdy, yes, he does look good, but because he's in such a good on such a good team, such a good system, that the numbers and success that he's putting up aren't actually equal to how good of a quarterback he is. Because the same thing could be said for Tua. You know, you look at how good Tua and the Dolphins have been, and then you look at the team and it's like, okay, well, you know, like, his success is a product of the team in a way. You know, you can't deny his talent 100%. You can't deny what he's doing, but you have to look at it hand in hand.
Hold with on, Purdy, so, I do think, so the I do statement think, you're making, what I'm hearing out of this is, take away the factors that help the quarterback succeed and the quarterback won't be as successful.
I don't mean take away. I'm saying you have to look at everything. Like, so what I mean by this is that I think Brock Purdy, I think you could start considering him maybe a top 10 quarterback. If he plays like this for the rest of the season, I'd probably put him in my top 10 at the end of the year.
Easily.
That being said, I still like a guy like, I mean, the top five solidified. I still think, like, Dak is a better quarterback than Brock Purdy to me at this point still. You know, I still don't think that you could put Brock Purdy in the elite conversation until I see him do it for maybe another half a year. And then I see
him elevate his game
even just a little bit more. That's all I'm saying.
I need another half season. But once that half season comes, I'm sold.
If he continues this into the playoffs and through this year, then yeah, I'll put him in my top 10. I think he's easily replaced, like, the Tom Brady role in the league.
Exactly. And he's that exact type of quarterback where he's not excellent. Well, first of all, I think Joe Burrow has that role. Because
he does, but
I'd say the same about him. No insane traits, but just knows how to go out there, win games, play quarterback.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd call Brock Purdy Joe Burrow Jr.
Yeah, or Tom Brady Jr. But like the same point, like, I don't think Brady was like an elite, fantastic quarterback his first couple years in New England. Like, he definitely was very successful with the team, but I think it took him some years to develop into the GOAT that he is today. And so, I don't know.
Sorry, of course, any quarterback is going to take time to develop.
I know, but I don't know. I don't think Purdy, as good as his numbers have been and as good as he's looked so far, I think that he still has some way to go until he becomes an elite quarterback to me. And I think that might happen within the next year or two, but so far I have him as very good and not elite, you know? That's my opinion on him.
I think that by the end of the year, we'll know.
Maybe.
And I think the answer will be yes.
Maybe. Like I said, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think he'll ever defeat the system quarterback allegations, though.
Well, Brady never did, but I mean.
Which is nuts.
You could, you know, it's one of those things. If you know ball, you can kind of just disregard when people say stuff.
True.
Like with Tua, though, like, if Tua continues having the year that he's had, are you putting him in the elite conversation?
Absolutely.
I guess I'll have to see how it plays out.
Because Tua does have one of those elite traits of accuracy.
He has accuracy, but he like.
And anticipation. And throwing guys open.
I think his system has a large part in doing, and I think a lot of systems do, but to me, like, even more so than Purdy, I think Tua's more reliant on his system.
Do you think it's a coincidence that it's the same system?
No.
All right. Just an observation.
It is interesting, though. Yeah. That's a good point.
Because Mike McDaniel did graduate from the Kyle Shanahan School of Helping Your Quarterback.
Mike McDaniel knows what he's doing. He really, and Shanahan obviously does too, but yeah.
Shanahan's low-key a playoff choker, though.
Yeah, he overthinks it. I don't know.
Did you hear the conspiracy theory that he purposefully choked away the Super Bowl to get Jimmy G to the Niners with him?
That did not happen.
That's hilarious.
Did not happen.
Was that a Chandler Jones quote?
Upset he was. Oh, sorry. What were you going to say?
Is that a Chandler Jones quote? No, for real, was it?
I don't know. It may have been.
Whatever.
I feel bad for Chandler Jones.
Yeah.
He was such a good – even, like, last year, he wasn't that bad.
Like, yeah, he had the game-winning touchdown against the Patriots.
Yeah, it's just sad. Like, hopefully he's okay. Hopefully he's getting help.
Yeah.
You wanna move on to the Jerry Jeudy situation?
Yeah, let's speak on that real quick.
Okay, so I'll start. First off, Alex and I both, if you've been following this podcast, we actually probably some of the earliest episodes have been talking about prospects like Jerry Jeudy, or maybe I don't even think we started.
Nah, that draft predates this.
Yeah, we were a year after that, but we still were talking about Jerry Jeudy as a young receiver with that same insight that we had on him as a prospect. And we both loved him as a prospect because he runs crisp routes, he's fast, he's athletic, he's very talented. If you're just looking at the tape, Jerry Jeudy like could be one of the best receivers in the league if you're not looking at anything else. But so far in Denver, that hasn't worked out. It hasn't worked out for him. And even despite having his last or his best year last year, almost 1,000 yards, I think it was 6 or 7 touchdowns, he had a decent year. He just hasn't amounted to the hype that, was put on him as the 14th or 15th overall pick. And so there's been a lot of speculation about him maybe getting traded. And all of this heightened with Steve Smith just going on air and then just completely like, I guess tearing him apart. I don't know a better word to say for that. But Steve Smith was like, Jerry Jeudy's a tier three receiver who can't get the job done for his team. And then Jerry Jeudy had 3 catches for 14 yards that game after that happened. So
Well, no, because the whole story is that he said that on the podcast that Jerry Jeudy is just a guy, and then Jeudy had a good game, and he went up to him, and he was like, "Oh, I'm sorry," blah, 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 blah. And Jerry Jeudy was like, "No, nah, I don't mess with you. Like, get out of here." So then Steve Smith was like, "All right, screw this," and started trashing him on the air,
but the thing is, like, it wasn't even
and said,
just
"If
like
anyone wants to trade for him, don't," is the funniest part of it.
it wasn't even like him just like, I mean, he was completely trashing him, but he also was like, Jerry Jeudy's a tier three receiver. He's not special.
He's not.
Yeah. And so, like, it must have hurt Jeudy to hear that and for all this to be going on in social media. And the fact is that the Broncos have made it clear that they want to trade Jerry Jeudy. So,
And they will be trading Jerry Jeudy.
do you think that his issues with the Broncos were more of Broncos issues than his issues? Or do you just think that he's not the receiver that we thought he was as a prospect?
I'd say it's about equal. I think that the Broncos are a horribly managed franchise, as we can see year over year, wasting draft picks on Sean Payton, giving Russell Wilson a giant contract before he ever steps on the field for you, trading you the farm for Russell Wilson. I can't find a single good move they've made in the last few years besides like drafting Patrick Surtain. Other than that, there's not one good move.
Yeah, it's been rough.
Everything they've done since the Super Bowl has been horrible, and that was 8 years ago now.
Yeah.
So, it definitely had something to do with Jeudy's development that he was with the Broncos, and that definitely, affected him poorly. But Jeudy's just not that guy.
I
His
think I
biggest
agree.
trait out of college was supposed to be route running, and he's cool.
He's a good route runner. He's a great runner.
That's it though.
Yeah. I think that's kind of the issue is that like Jerry Jeudy's like a talented piece who can make some really flashy plays occasionally, but he's not going to take over a game. And he's not someone like, unless he's in a system that like really just like will scheme him into opportunities where he can make like a clear difference. Like I'm talking like something similar to what's happening with Adam Thielen right now. Like, on a team where Jerry Jeudy could be the focal point. And like, even though he's not the best at certain things and certain aspects of playing receiver, he could get the opportunities to be a star. Unless he's in a situation like that, I don't think he's going to elevate a team or he's going to elevate out of his role any more than you would expect a receiver to, like an average receiver to. And, I think a lot of teams might be interested in him, but I don't think he's ever going to turn out to be a star. He might have a little bit more success than he had in Denver, but I think Steve Smith's kind of right, and I think Denver would be right to try to trade him away because right now I think his talent and what he should have been as a prospect aren't living up and never will live up to what they should have in Denver. And if that's saying something about Denver or him, I don't know, but
It's
either way,
both.
Denver's, yeah, I think it's both. I think Jerry Jeudy's not quite as good as we thought he was just because he's a little flashy. And Denver has been a dumpster fire for 4 or 5 straight years. So
he's also clearly got some personality traits that may be undesirable in an NFL locker room.
I think a lot of receivers do, though. I think they're coming out because of how ugly this Denver situation is. But, like, if he's in a good system, you know, I wouldn't say that he has, like, personality issues. I don't think he's, like, a diva. I just think...
because he still went out there and played.
Yeah. And he's, you know, I've never heard of him doing anything. I might be mistaken, but I didn't think he had any character issues. You know, I've heard him interviewed before. He seems all right. So it's, like, it's one of those things. I just think Denver is a toxic situation. And yeah,
I mean, look at their coach.
I'd want to get out of there too.
Denver is a toxic situation. Look who their coach is.
The funny thing is, we thought that Sean Payton might fix this team.
I thought it would end well.
He thought so too. Remember, he was talking.
I should have known what franchise it was. I should have seen what franchise Sean Payton went to and knew what the outcome would be.
You know, there was that whole thing about him talking about Nathaniel Hackett before the season, and he's no better.
That's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
He's no better.
Nathaniel Hackett's Jets or Broncos started 2-3. Sean Payton's started 1-4.
Yep, which is crazy.
That's so entertaining. I love to see Sean Payton fail. but I don't even know who trades for Jerry Jeudy. The biggest leader to me was the Colts, but the Colts have a pretty solid receiving core right now.
This is like a weird pick, but like, Giants, maybe.
Yeah, they've been in talks with him going back to the offseason, but
the Jets, I mean, just got rid of Mecole Hardman.
See, the thing is, you don't really know where he goes, because even though some of these teams have lackluster receiving cores, Jerry Jeudy doesn't move the needle for them. So he could go any.
I guess he doesn't move the needle, but even like, I like him to the Ravens. Like, I know the Ravens, it's like they made all these moves, but at the end of the day, they're the same team that they were.
They
like
made a lot of moves for
haven't
a bunch
gotten
of bad
any
receivers. For a bunch of has-beens.
Yeah. And Jeudy doesn't move the needle, but like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he could, I guess.
Better than some of those guys.
Listen, I've gotten burnt with some of these Alabama receivers the last few years.
Yeah.
CD was not my favorite that year. Jeudy was actually my favorite that year.
Dude, I was really into Ruggs.
Ruggs was good too, though.
I know he was. His second year was looking good before
to break out.
Yeah,
that's horrible.
Yeah.
But
again, yeah, I thought Jeudy was going to be great.
But you know what?
I thought Waddle would be good, but he is good. So I was
Waddle
right.
Is good.
Yeah.
So is Smitty. I didn't like Smitty coming out, to be honest.
Neither of us liked Smitty at all, and I'm very happy with Smitty.
But you know what? My most recent Alabama wide receiver take, that's the one. Watch out for J-Mo.
Okay, just because he had a long touchdown doesn't mean anything.
J-Mo, before that ACL tear, was going to get drafted over guys like Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, and I don't even know who else went that year. Oh, London.
Yeah.
He was going to go before all of them.
Maybe.
I'm positive. And he's
Drake
more London's talented than all of them.
Not Garrett Wilson, no.
Yes.
Garrett Wilson was the best receiver in that class, and I've been saying that. I've been right, and I don't care.
Just you watch.
Dude, I was right about Garrett Wilson, and I'm not taking it back. I knew he would be him, and he hasn't had a quarterback yet, and he still is great. And once he gets Rodgers next year or in the playoffs, when Rodgers does his voodoo Achilles, whatever, treatment, then we're going to see even more that Garrett Wilson is legit the best receiver in that draft class anyway.
Just wait for J-Mo to come through.
Yo.
I'm playing the long game on this one.
That's crazy. I don't know. Jameson Williams could be all right. We'll see. I don't know.
He's going to be the best one.
We just went on a tangent, but let's get back on track and talk about some of the quarterback injuries. Mainly the biggest one is the guy that we both liked a lot, especially you. But before the draft, our favorite player pretty much just potential oozes out of him. That's something that you've said, Alex, and it's true. And that's Anthony Richardson. And he looked so good in this first couple games of the season. The Colts actually looked like they had a shot at being like a playoff team. And
Colts
Richards
were fun.
was passing pretty well. Like a lot of his issues in college were fixed by playing on an NFL team that kind of, you know, he still was a little inaccurate, but as a rookie, he looked way better than I thought he even would. And his rushing ability, just his athleticism, everything looked great. I mean, Stroud may have played a little bit better so far, but besides
Definitely.
Stroud, like Richardson has been what you want to see out of a rookie. It's like,
oh, absolutely.
He looks great. This guy's going to be elite. And so losing him so early in the season and to such, you know, not good injury, it's just, it's tragic. It's sad. And I hate it. I think it makes the game of football worse. And I really hope he'll be able to recover and then be healthy next year and years to come, because what I saw from him is a quarterback who could run the league if injuries don't get in the way. And that's the same thing that happened with Robert Griffin III and Andrew Luck and other quarterbacks who have had injuries derail their careers. So I really hope that this is not a case of that.
Yeah, what sucks for Anthony Richardson is that he has this giant frame and he's a fantastic athlete, but he's playing very reckless so far. And he also just doesn't seem to be durable enough to sustain that kind of build and play style combination.
Yeah.
Like a Josh Allen has the same exact type of build and the same style of play, but Josh Allen has been very durable thus far in his career and has been able to do all that.
Cam Newton made it through like 5 or 6 really solid years of being durable, and then injuries started piling up. But similar type of case there.
Exactly. Cam Newton's shoulder went out on him and he was just done.
Mm-hmm.
So I really hope we don't see the same for Richardson, because he is really exciting and I do love who he is as a player. But it sucks to see him out for the season after playing like 3 games.
You think he'll be okay? I mean, this is a shoulder injury. And so I think it's the smart move for them to do the surgery and to take it easy and for him to fully recover. But I mean, do you think, just off of what you know, do you think he'll be okay going forward next time we
see
him
play? All right. He's got plenty of time to recover. This is an injury that a lot of specialists said didn't even need surgery. So they're just playing it safe. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be worried about long term. It sucks for his development not to get the game action that he would have gotten this year, but I mean, it happens.
Looking at the short term, what do the Colts try to do now that they're, you know, the quarterback who could have maybe brought them to the playoffs even this year is out for the season? They're still a decent team, but this is like another lost year where they don't have a quarterback and not really a shot at being a contender. So if you're the Colts, I mean, obviously you're not going to tank games, but like, what's a good outlook for the Colts now that they don't have Anthony Richardson and now that Gardner Minshew is their leader?
I don't even know what they can do, because it, like, yeah, you said it yourself. It just sucks. It's a lost season. It is what it is. I mean, you can't really do anything. You're not going to go out and sign a veteran because you have your veteran as your backup. So,
Carson Wentz?
Yeah, they'll get Carson back. But, I mean, it sucks for them.
Yeah.
It's a year of losing games for no reason. I mean, luckily, you know you have your answer at quarterback. So there's a little less uncertainty. And from those losses, you're going to get a draft pick of someone you know is going to help out Anthony Richardson, like a lineman or a receiver. Depends on how bad they are, of course, but, you know, they'll be getting someone good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Anthony Richardson isn't the only quarterback that's gotten hurt this year. Recently, we've had 2 other guys get hurt. Deshaun Watson and Daniel Jones. Sorry, why am I being so formal? Deshaun Watson and Danny Dimes have both gotten hurt in the last couple weeks for their respective teams. And both of those teams with their backups have looked rough. Although the Giants have looked rough all year.
Yeah.
Honestly, Tyrod Taylor against the Bills this week did better than Dimes has done all year, except for 1.5 against the Cardinals, which is crazy to say because I'm a Dimes fan. But Tyrod looked very poised out there, especially against a good defense like the Bills have. And, I mean, I don't even know what the takeaway is there. Like, do you feel more confident in your offense as a Giants fan when Dimes comes back, or do you feel less confident because Dimes couldn't do that?
I feel like you feel not confident either way. Like, it's even with Tyrod, like,
they scored 9 points.
Yeah.
Although, listen, I think Waller got held at on that last play too.
He did. I thought the Giants were going to win that game. I really did.
I thought so
Bills
too.
Were self-destructing. Dable knew how to play the Bills. He just didn't know how to score because his team's not good.
True, that was his old team.
Yeah. Again,
forget about that.
Goal line issues. They were on the goal line twice, on the 1 yard line, and didn't score in either drive.
Well, no, that time was the first time was because of clock.
Yeah, but still, like, they had plays on the 1 yard line. They should have scored at least one of those plays, you know?
The Bills are our spirit team. Goal line stuffs.
Yeah, goal line stuffs. A lot of goal line stuffs recently. Red zone efficiency is down. But that's not what we're talking about. The parallels with the Danny Dimes injury and the Watson injury to the Anthony Richardson conversation is that we talked about how Anthony Richardson is the future. We saw him winning. We think he could take over the league if he stays healthy. And the Browns and the Giants both paid Watson and Daniel Jones crazy contracts that I thought were both irrational. I wasn't a fan of either contract. And we talked about all of these contracts, but both franchises were like, okay, you're the future. We like you at quarterback. We're paying you so you could bring potential success to this team, even though we have other issues. And so I think the biggest takeaway, I mean, I know they're injured, but is that, you know, both quarterbacks haven't looked good even when they're healthy. And so getting back to being healthy and getting back to winning football is super important for these two quarterbacks in order to kind of rebuild their image as, like, you know, good starters, I guess. I mean, Daniel Jones has always, for me, been like iffy with that. But last year, everybody believed he was. So, you know, if these franchises are going to pay these quarterbacks a lot of money, they have to show up when they're healthy. And it's concerning to me that, you know, Watson, there's no time.
Showing up, period.
He isn't showing up, period. And he's also hurt. Like, I mean, it doesn't sound good. His shoulder's hurt. And they're unsure if he's going to play within the next week or two or whatever. And Daniel Jones has a neck injury, a pretty bad neck injury. And so even when these guys are...
Dimes is going to play this week, though, right?
He was limited in practice. So it sounds like they're getting him ready to potentially play. But with a neck injury, I don't think you could say he's going to play. Like, he didn't do much in practice. So it might be one of those, like, oh, we're going to practice you for 2 weeks before you play again. I don't know.
Right.
Either way, I think it's like
contact.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is iffy.
Either way, with my point, like, I mean, you can't blame them for being injured, but when these guys come back, they're going to have to show up because otherwise it's looking
dire. Teams are spent.
You know, the Browns defense looks great. Their offense just can't do anything.
Defense is top three, I'd say.
It won them that Niners game. It really did. P.J. Walker was not doing too much.
Yo, P.J. Walker, T for Temple U.
Temple alum, that's sick. You see? Did you see the Amari Cooper Moss? That was crazy. If you're listening and you didn't see that, go look that up. That's one of the catches of the year. He got up there, and that was crazy. But again, circling back to my point. These guys need to get healthy and they need to play well for their teams. And unless they can both figure out offensively, because defensively the Giants aren't good, but they're like okay enough that if their offense figures stuff out, they might be okay again.
And the Bills to 14.
The Browns have a top three defense, like I said. So, or like you said. So if their offense figures it out, then I think the Browns, you said that they could be a playoff team. It's possible, just the offense needs to figure it out. And with Watson and not playing well, it's just, I think both teams are kind of doomed unless things change pretty quickly. And with these injuries,
if Watson doesn't get back ASAP, they're in trouble.
Even if he gets back ASAP, like, I don't think his play has been much of an upgrade from what we saw from P.J. Walker last week. Like, yeah, one game he was great. One game Watson looked like vintage Watson, but that was one game. I've seen eight other Browns games where Watson has looked like a subpar quarterback and getting paid way too much money.
And seemingly not caring because he got his money.
I don't know about not caring, but
I don't know. That's the vibe he gives me.
I don't like the vibes from Deshaun Watson, but I'm not going to talk about all. Yeah, I mean, you know why. You know why.
Well, yeah.
But anyway, Yeah. And I don't like talking about quarterbacks being hurt. It's depressing. We'll see what happens. We'll update both about the Deshaun Watson and Daniel Jones situations. And if anything new comes out by Anthony Richardson, we're going to talk about it because we both love him. But that leads us to our last thing that we're going to talk about, and that's the Saints and Jaguars game. Kind of just want to do quick predictions about this. Something funny,
I predict that I will want to bleach my eyes after this game.
Shouldn't be that, but actually, maybe it'll be that bad. This will be a defensive game. It really will be.
I think it will be offensive.
Offensive to watch, yes.
Yes.
The funny thing is, every time I pick the Saints to win in our goal line stuff, like Instagram stories, they lose.
Yeah, it's one of those teams that I can't get right.
And I'm just like, I feel like I'm instinct wise, I want to take the Jags to win this game. But I feel like the Saints are going to win just because I'm saying
no.
That.
I think the Saints in reality suck.
Their defense is good.
They're 3-3, but in all reality, look who they beat. They beat the Titans, who are, what, 2-4?
Yeah.
They beat Carolina, who's winless. And they beat New England, who might as well be winless. 1-5.
True.
They suck.
I'm just saying, I'm going to pick the Jags because I think Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars have looked a little bit better each week. And I think that they're going to start hitting that hot streak like they did last year. Not yet, maybe not this week, but eventually they're going to. I like them as a team a little bit better than the Saints. So I think it'll be like a low scoring game, but maybe like a 24-17 or something like that type of game. But me saying that, I know the Saints are going to somehow have their best week and no. I'm going to be wrong. So
no, I'm picking the Jaguars all the way.
Okay.
Even though they just came back from two straight weeks of London. No, they did not come back from two straight weeks of London. That was last week.
Yeah.
I'm still picking the Jaguars because I don't think the Saints are good, and I think Jacksonville is at least slightly good.
I mean, Jacksonville's 3-1 right now.
You mean 4-2?
4-2. Why did I say 3-1? Oh, I'm looking at their schedule. Who did they lose to their second game?
Houston.
Oh, and they lost. Who did they lose the first game? Who did they lose?
Kansas City are their two losses.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think the Jaguars.
I think Houston is sneaky. All right.
Yeah,
but they beat Buffalo. That's really their only super quality win. I'm not gonna lie.
And Buffalo doesn't look quality a lot of the games they play. So it's like
Buffalo.
Yeah, it's like
Buffalo's a good team though.
They're a good team, but they fold under pressure a lot.
Buffalo smoked the Dolphins a week after the Dolphins put up 70.
Buffalo's a dangerous team, but they almost lost to the Giants. Almost lost to the Giants. They should have lost to the Giants. Like, okay, I don't know. Buffalo's a good team. They're still a contender because of how dangerous they are. But like at the same time, we have to be realistic that this team is very inconsistent. And when they're playing bad, they're not a good team. Like on the field, they're not playing as a good team. So I don't know. Jacksonville's our picks. We'll see how that works out. Yeah, I don't know. Should be a non-interesting game, but I like the Jaguars. Anything else to say, Alex, or should we wrap it up?
I got nothing.
Okay. Well, that was our episode of Goal Line Stuff. We rambled a little bit longer than I think we should have, but pretty good episode. Talked about quarterback injuries, talked about undefeated teams losing, and then gave you our predictions for this game. Lock in the Jaguars winning, baby. It's going to happen. We got on kind of we were busy this week, and so we got off schedule, but with this podcast and then going into next week, we should get back on schedule and to like a weekly podcast. So look forward to that. And also look forward to our score predictions, which will come out before the Sunday games on, yes, of course, it's Sunday at 1. Look forward to that on our Instagram. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed. See you next week. Bye-bye.